Welcome to Everything Pro Wrestling. Everything Pro Wrestling is a show by the fans, for the fans. And I am your host, Conrad Cushman. And we are going to talk about a match today that happened 20 years ago that defined an era. And that match took place at the King of the Ring in 1998. It is Mankind versus The Undertaker, Hell in a Cell. First and foremost, I have to thank you for listening to the Everything Pro Wrestling podcast, because without you, there would be no show. It's a show by the fans, for the fans, and I have to thank you guys. Now, let's start talking about the background for the King of the Ring show, and we're going to get into some of the details that are happening during this time. Now, first, the runtime for the match was about 17 minutes, and you may think that this match seems much shorter than that, but a lot of stuff happened. There's a lot of pauses in it. We're going to talk about all of that. Now, it happened on June 28th, 1998. The arena was the Civic Arena in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and the attendance was about 17,000 plus. And on commentary, we had Jim Ross and Jerry the King Lawler, who are going to have a hell of a night. And Jim Ross actually has a sound clip that it will be heard throughout the rest of the time of pro wrestling. And it's something that defines him as an announcer. And this match does a lot of that throughout. It defines an era, in my opinion, when you listen to it. Now, we're going to get into something else that I wanted to talk about. And thank you for Robert Anderson for posting this in the Everything Pro Wrestling group on Facebook. You guys can join that group. It's a closed group. And he told a little story about me in here, which I do vividly remember. 20 years ago, we happened to be playing basketball that day, hanging out, me and a few of my buddies. It was me, Gerald, Aaron, and we were all hanging out, just got in the house, and we happened to come home to someone who accidentally, we still to this day don't know who did it out of all the kids. Someone ordered the 1998 King of the Ring in the middle of the show. And when we came in the house, it was actually on this match. Like the cell and the announcements were going on. And we were all like, oh man, forget it. People were playing Nintendo 64, playing outside, and all the kids and everyone from the family came into the living room where the big TV was to watch this match. And it's something that I will never forget. It was such a crazy moment that no one could believe what they had saw or what had happened, like, for this whole event. And I will never forget that still to this day. And we're going to talk about that match in its entirety right here. This match defines the Attitude Era. If you watch any clip highlighting anything from the Attitude Era, this match will be in that clip. Now, what's going on during this time is WCW versus the WWF, the World Wrestling Federation at the time, and they are going at it. This is during peak time of the Monday Night Wars, and at this time, the WWF has started gaining momentum after having Mike Tyson appear at WrestleMania 14. They are having crazy storylines go on with Undertaker burning down his house and, I say this with finger quotes, murdering his parents, and his brother Kane has returned and Paul Bearer has brought him back. You are finding out storylines with Val Venus. You have the Nation of Domination. You have so many different things being played off of Austin McMahon, Austin Taker, just so many great things going on. And we're not even talking about WCW for this episode, but that war and competition was real. And I do want to bring that up for this, because I feel, in my honest opinion, that that's what made wrestling great, was the competition, and people were fighting back and forth to get their storylines out there and push forward. Now, rewatching this match before I clicked record into this microphone, which I hope everyone's enjoying the new quality for the podcast. I rewatched this match and it has a double type of feeling to it. Like, I cringe during certain spots of this match because as a normal human being, you would just feel that way watching it, like, oh, I don't think that was supposed to happen, or, ooh, that looked painful. But at the same time, I also smile because it reminds me of a time when nothing mattered in my life, really. And not saying it like that, but things were a lot simpler as a kid. And it also reminds me of how great wrestling was back then. I was a pro wrestling fanatic all my life, and this was the best era because I was able to get a lot of my friends into it. Like I said, my buddy Aaron, we all used to hang out all the time. We used to have the action figures, play the video games. Same with Gerald. We used to have basically who could get the action figures first, who was the best in the video games. We had different systems, all the wrestling games. And even Robert and Brandon, they were young kids back then, as I mentioned all of those guys before. But we all loved pro wrestling and had a good time just talking about it, hanging out, discussing who our favorites were, who was the next to rise up in the company. And it was just such a cool time to be a pro wrestling fan. Now, this match is graphic, violent, and like I said, this match defines the Attitude Era. All right, guys. Well, this match starts off with Mankind climbing the Hell in a Cell cage with the chair in his hand. And you're just wondering, like, matches don't start on top of the Hell in the Cell. They're supposed to start inside, and the cage is meant to keep people inside and prevent interference. Odd. Now, this is a pretty cool moment and something that people have tried to replicate, but Mick Foley started it all. So big props to Mankind. Next, you have Undertaker, who comes out, makes his entrance, and he climbs the cage immediately to meet him up at the top because Undertaker's not scared of anybody. Now, when they're up there, I don't know if I want to say that they look scared, but they definitely don't look comfortable is the best way I could put it. They seem like the cage is kind of wobbly, and supposedly there's zip ties holding together pieces of the cage, and you see the zip ties popping and things are falling down and they look real wobbly up there. And while they're up there, they exchange some punches back and forth, and you can see they're trying to set up for something now. And when that happens, you get the craziest spot of all time. That is easily Jim Ross's most identifiable piece of work that he has ever done while on commentary. And that was an incredible call. And he does actually some more incredible ones throughout this show. But that one is the soundbite you will always hear from good old JR. And he did an amazing job with that. Now, after this, fans are in initial shock and awe of what just happened. But the part that a lot of people leave out is that afterwards, the fans are silent as officials and medics are rushing to ringside to come see what happened to Mankind, a.k.a. Mick Foley. Mankind is laid out down there, and they are there to make sure he's okay because there was nothing underneath that table when he came off the top. Undertaker threw him from the top of the Hell in a Cell through an announce table. And Mick Foley took the spot perfectly, it looked like, but it looked like it hurt like hell when he landed. And man, just a crazy moment. And like I said, that clip will always be in anything involving the Attitude Era because it was just so crazy at the time. Like, I don't think you understand if you didn't see it live how crazy it was. Now, Mankind then is on a stretcher and he's being basically taken out of the arena with officials there. Terry Funk, someone who he was kind of in a feud with at the time, came down. But Mick Foley and Terry Funk are friends in real life, and he had to check on him just to make sure he was okay. And Vince McMahon's down there, Sergeant Slaughter, all types of officials. And as he's almost halfway up the ramp, Mick Foley gets up off of the stretcher. And then he begins to climb the Hell in a Cell again. And the Undertaker's looking at him like, what are you doing? So Taker then climbs up the Hell in a Cell again, and they brawl for a second. And what winds up happening? A choke slam through the Hell in a Cell. And what winds up happening is, after the choke slam, there was a chair up there initially, like I said. He goes through the Hell in a Cell, and that steel chair falls on Mick Foley's face. And at the time, after he chokeslams him through, in interviews, The Undertaker has said he thought Mankind was dead, like, after that spot. He could not believe that this guy put himself through all of this already, and we're not even done with the match yet. So Jim Ross is in the background, like I said, and he's yelling for someone to stop this match. This has gone on. It's crazy. And when I saw all of this, I just thought that this is stuff that, as a kid, when I used to play with the action figures, like, this is stuff that you would do with the action figures, but you knew it would never happen. No one could ever throw someone off the top of a cage or chokeslam someone through the cage. Easy for me to say, right? Chokeslam someone through the cage and they could get up and walk. Stuff like that just didn't happen back then. But in this match, it did. And after that, Taker and Mankind still wind up fighting each other. Now, later on during the match, Foley is seen smiling with a tooth hanging out of his nose. And Jim Ross makes another perfect call, yelling, "He's smiling! He's smiling!" And Mankind ends up telling the story that he wasn't actually smiling. There was a hole in his mouth, and he was actually trying to put his tongue through the hole to see what had happened or how big it was, because he was knocked loopy from everything that was going on. So Jim Ross covered it very well and told an amazing story by adding his commentary to it. Now, what else could happen in this match? We're not going to bring up people getting thrown into the steel steps, hit with the steel steps, crashing into the Hell in a Cell. Those are just minor things in this match. And then you would think it can't get any crazier than that, right? Wrong. Thumbtacks. Mankind goes underneath the ring and grabs thumbtacks. Now, he puts Undertaker in like a sleeper hold, but Undertaker begins to get up with Mankind on his back and basically throws all of his weight on top of Mankind, and Mankind lands in the tacks, and Tim White's face is in pure shock. Like, what are these two doing? Mick Foley is having an extremely hard time, like, taking all of the thumbtack spots to his back, but he's still fighting through all of this pain. He is going through it, and he gets up, and he gets chokeslammed then on the thumbtacks. And after that, you would think it's over. No. He gets up, and then Undertaker lands a tombstone pile driver on Mick Foley for the 1, 2, 3. And Lord have mercy, the match ends. Now, with all that being said, a lot of people wonder, was all of this planned? We don't know how much of it was planned. Some of it had to be. Some of it, maybe it wasn't. We don't know. But I know at that time, and even today, as a wrestling fan, I could still appreciate that match. Now, not to make this match sound like it was not significant, because it was. Is this the greatest wrestled Hell in a Cell match? Absolutely not. But I will say that this is the most memorable Hell in a Cell match. Abso-freaking-lutely. Mick Foley and The Undertaker put their bodies on the line and did their thing in this match. Now, as I continue with this, after the tombstone pile driver, Mankind got up and walked away on his own 2 feet. And some people forget to mention this. They even came back out for the main event, which was Stone Cold Steve Austin versus Kane in a First Blood match. And Mankind and The Undertaker were involved in the ending of that match as well, which was very cool. But man, out of all this, guys, I really feel like we have two of the most respected wrestlers of all time in the ring, and they put on a hell of a show for us, and one that I know I will never forget as long as I'm a wrestling fan. In my opinion, this is a must-see match, and I do have to give it a great grade and my actual recommendation for it. because this is an A-plus match just because of the suspense and everything that Mick Foley put himself through. And I just have to give them major props for it. I love it. And it brings everything into pro wrestling that you want. It is violent, but it's very memorable. And I think this is what got Mick Foley his WWF championship run that he earned. You would never think that this guy would go on to write best-selling novels, that he could reach newer heights, be in Chef Boyardee commercials. And it was all because of this match, in my opinion. This match made Mick Foley the legend that everybody knew he was. But this right here, this cemented his legacy in the pro wrestling business. And that's not to crap on The Undertaker or leave him out, because he played a big part in this too. But Mick Foley came out of this match the big star. And to me, like I said, this match defined an era, and it was absolutely incredible, guys. Thank you guys so much for listening to me talk about Mankind versus The Undertaker at the 1998 King of the Ring in a Hell in a Cell match. Now, wherever you're listening to this at, whether it's Wrestling Aminu, Facebook, Twitter, I appreciate you guys. Do me a favor and make sure you follow me on all social media platforms, which will be in the description above. Also, leave me your feedback on this match. I want to hear what you guys thought of this match. Where were you? Any memories, moments of The Undertaker, Mankind, Mick Foley, even if it's anything unrelated, I want to hear from you guys. And also, do me a favor and check out Prophecy from the Nerditude Podcast on Anchor. He does a tremendous podcast every week, and he also talks pro wrestling. So I wanted you guys to make sure you give him a listen and check out his great work. Thank you so much for listening to the show. I appreciate you guys, and I do the show for you. Now let's go out to some amazing music.